Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Greg Cosell is presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Visit them online, THGTN.com, or you can call 833-THG-NASH. We had Sam, I believe his name was, on Twitter, who asked us, Chad, right after last week's visit with Greg, do you guys script the questions and give them to Greg before he comes on the show, or is he just that good? The answer, he's just that good.
Yeah, this is not scripted up.
The only thing Greg knows is we're actually going to discuss the draft from a divisional standpoint. And today it will be with the NFC East. Greg, what's up? How are you?
What's happening, guys? Did you survive the CMA Music Fest?
We did. This marks, what, year number three that you have not attended?
I'm trying to think.
In a row?
There. Yeah, because I was there when my daughter was 16, 17, 18. Yes, it's the third year in a row I did not attend.
Massive crowds.
Is it just getting bigger and bigger?
It is.
Bigger and bigger. We need you back, Greg.
Well,
the event still misses you.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's waiting just for me.
They are.
Greg, it's great to have you back on today as we discuss the NFC East. And let's start with the Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. They did not hold many picks.
No.
They did select tight end Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State. Is he a great replacement for Trey Burton, as Goddard will now play alongside Zach Ertz?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is this is a team that plays a lot with two tight ends, and I think that it's an important part of what they do. They really love Dallas Goedert. His tape from 2016 was actually better than his 2017 tape. He fought some injuries in 2017 and did not look as quick and explosive, but he's a big guy. I actually got a chance to meet him, and I don't know what his official weight is now, but he looked like he could gain 10, 15 more pounds and not be the least bit heavy. But he catches the ball exceptionally well. That's really the strength, one of the main strengths of his game, is he catches the ball exceptionally well, often overlooked these days with receivers. But he'll be a terrific second tight end with Zach Ertz.
I ask you about traits when it comes to these D2 prospects that you watch. What did Goddard display that made him such a no-brainer for scouts? Because he was universally liked.
Yes, he was. And I think, as I said, more people liked him based on his 2016 tape. But I thought the strength of his game was his ability to catch it. You know, I think that he can be physical at times as a receiver and a route runner. I didn't see him, and again, you have to go back to 2016 where he showed more burst and speed, and I think that's what people are hanging their hat on. I think if you really look at him and you really like him, Jonathan, and again, I'm always leery, you know, of making comparisons, but I think if you see him getting bigger and stronger and with his body type, I think he can do that. Then he has the look of someone who could weigh 265 or 270 and look like Rob Gronkowski. Whether that happens, that remains to be seen, but I think there were some people who saw him as that kind of player down the road.
And with that size added on, I wonder what that would do for his blocking abilities, because he wasn't asked to block all that much as a product of that offense there, right? In college?
No, he was not asked to block a lot. I thought that he showed some positive traits when he was asked to do that, and my guess is he'll continue to improve with the technique work that he'll be taught in the NFL. But at the combine, he weighed 256, and I'm telling you, because I met him, I think he could be 265 without a problem. And his vertical jump was pretty darn good for a guy that big. So this is an athletic kid with room to grow in size.
So Josh Sweat out of Florida State fell all the way to the fourth round to the Eagles. He had that horrible knee injury back in 2014. But when you put Josh Sweat with that pass rush now with the Eagles, what do you think he brings to the table there?
Yeah, and the reason I think he was a fourth-round pick is there were many snaps, and I watched a lot of them at Florida State, where he literally looked like he was favoring and dragging his leg. And that's why, for a lot of people, it blew them away with the numbers he put up at the combine. He put up sensational numbers. He can rush the quarterback. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, when you watched him at Florida State, he played a lot in a four-point stance. And what that means is he has both hands on the ground. No one does that really in the NFL. So you had to try to think of him playing in a three-point stance, or perhaps even at times in a two-point stance. And he also at Florida State played a lot more inside, almost either head up on tackles or even inside a defensive tackle, an offensive tackle. I don't think he'll do that in the NFL. I think he'll be used more, particularly with Philadelphia, as an edge rusher. But as I said, his combine measurables were off the charts. He had a vertical jump of almost 40 inches, which is unheard of for a player like that. So, to me, he was probably a first-round pick without an injury. And then you guys may remember, he came out of high school in Virginia. He was the consensus number one defensive end in the nation. So this is a big-time recruit, a big-time athletic talent. It was just the injury. A lot of people thought he was dragging his leg, which the film showed.
And, I mean, Philly was in a great situation to draft him because they have Brandon Graham. I know many people think like he's going into his final season because of the Sweat selection. But they also have Chris Long and Michael Bennett, two older pass rushers. But they have the depth.
And Barnett.
And Barnett, yeah. They have the depth to allow Josh Sweat, I won't say to not play, but it's not like they need first-round production out of him in his rookie season.
No, theoretically, you could almost argue that if they wanted to make it a redshirt year, they could.
Yeah. Yep.
That, absolutely.
I like that. Now, the Eagles lost Patrick Robinson, who played well last year, but they drafted Maddox, the corner from Pittsburgh, Avonte Maddox. Is he the perfect prospect to play inside?
Well, that's what he was drafted to do. He's about 5'9", 5'10". He runs exceptionally well. He's very, very competitive and physical for a smaller player, and that's one thing that really stood out, and it's one thing they really like, because he is willing to mix it up. And we've talked many times, Jonathan, about the slot in the NFL. It's not just a coverage position. You've got to be able to play the run. And again, he's small, but he's physical and competitive. You've got to be able to blitz. He blitzed at Pitt because he was the boundary corner, meaning he played to the short side of the field. And in college football, we know the short side of the field is rather narrow, and boundary corners do blitz. And he did that at Pitt and actually got a number of sacks. So I think they see him as the perfect slot corner, and I believe he'll get a chance to win that job right through training camp. If he plays well through camp in the preseason, I think he'll be their starting slot corner.
There were a few guys from Alabama that I feel like consistently people had nothing but good things to say about. Maybe not great, but really good things to say about. Rashawn Evans with the Titans, one of those picks. Daron Payne, the defensive tackle Redskins, another one of those guys at 13 overall. What do you think about him and his fit with Washington?
I love Daron Payne on tape. I mean, I actually liked him more on tape than I like Jonathan Allen on tape, who he's now back together with in Washington. But I love Payne. I think Payne, to me, was a better athlete than the previous three that came out, Jerron Reed, A'shaun Robinson, and Dalvin Tomlinson. And those were all first or second round picks. I think Payne has more upside as a three-down player. I think he can play inside in your sub-packages and become a very effective pass rusher. He's got the perfect combination of strength, power, athleticism, and movement. I saw him as a guy you could plug in right now and play as a starter in your base defense. He can play multiple D-tackle positions, and I'll be anxious to see if Washington uses him in their sub-packages.
Well, and Washington stayed in the SEC West with their next pick, Darius Geis, running back out of LSU, 59th overall in the second round. Well, where did Geis rank among some of the top running backs in this draft class, and what do you think about his style now with Washington?
Well, clearly they want to run the ball, and they don't feel Samaje Perine was the answer, so they drafted Geis. Geis is boy, does he have an NFL running mentality, Chad. I mean, he's got downhill traits. He's got natural power. He's got great competitive toughness. I mean, he's an eye back. That's what you guys know LSU. They line up with the quarterback under center. They're an eye formation team. They often have a fullback there. So he's an eye back. And, he was hurt a bit in 2017. He really didn't start to get back to being Geis until, I think, the Ole Miss game. But if you go back to 2016, man, did you see a back that looked like a top 20 type pick in this league? And he's an urgent, relentless, aggressive, decisive runner.
And he compares himself to Marshawn Lynch, which I think is a great comparison.
And I think I made that note. I said at times guys showed similarities in style to Marshawn Lynch. I mean, it's the competitive style. You know, Geis is he asks no quarter, takes no quarter. This kid runs hard.
Later in Washington's draft, anyone stand out? Tim Settle, Sean Dion Hamilton, Troy Apke. The safety from Penn State?
Yeah, Apke's an interesting player because there's a kid whose combine numbers were off the charts. I don't think his tape reflected that, but I think when you look at a guy that has such great athletic measurables, you know, particularly you get to the NFL, you feel he can be coached and refined. So I think, in fact, I liked him more than their other safety who went to Oakland, I believe, Marcus Allen, who I thought was very much a box-type player with some limitations, whereas Apke, because of his pure athleticism, has at least some traits you feel you can work with.
Greg, you were the first person to mention the name Leighton Vander Esch in Nashville. We did it while we were sitting at the NFL Combine as someone that you really liked when you were just watching film of an unknown prospect at the time. Turns out he goes on, has a great combine, becomes one of the big talking points of defensive players in the first round, and he ends up with the Dallas Cowboys. Tell us about the fit in Dallas for Vander Esch.
Oh, I think it's a really good fit. And it's interesting. We've talked about Vander Esch numerous times, and I hope people have listened and they know that I really like this kid. He's long, he's athletic, he's rangy. He can rush the quarterback. He predominantly played off the ball, stacked behind the defensive line. But I really liked him. But if you look at Dallas right now with their linebacking core, obviously Sean Lee, when healthy, is a great, great player. Jalen Smith, the year he came out of Notre Dame, was a top three or four player in the draft. And if he can come back to anything close to that, now you add Vander Esch to that mix, they could actually, guys, have a really good linebacking core.
He only started one season at Boise State. Why, based on that one season, do you believe he's going to be a solid pro?
Well, I think he's still learning how to play. I think there's a very high ceiling to his development with coaching and more experience. He's got tremendous traits. He's got a feel, and I've talked about this with coaches, and some coaches use the word sift, some use the word slither. He's got a feel in the box to kind of avoid contact, avoid blocks without abandoning his gap and then make plays. Because he's not a purely physical player, despite his size, over 6'4", 256. He's not a power player per se. You could argue Luke Kuechly's not a power player per se either, but Vander Esch has that sort of sifting, slithering ability to kind of avoid blocks, work through traffic, and stay within his gap responsibility. And keep in mind, guys, and this is something maybe a lot of people don't realize, but gaps are what we call fluid. You have a gap before the ball is snapped, but when the ball snapped, gap responsibilities change based on what the run play is. And that's where Vander Esch is very good with that slithery feel.
Six of Dallas's nine selections were on offense. They start that in the second round with Connor Williams, a three-year starter for the Longhorns offensive line. He's playing left guard currently for the Cowboys in between Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick. What's not to like about this Dallas offensive line with him in the mix now?
Well, Dallas has made it very clear that they're looking to go back to 2016 with Ezekiel Elliott and 2014 with DeMarco Murray. They want to run the football. They want their quarterback to be a complementary piece. And they want their offense and, by extension, their defense to be driven by the run game. Because if you control the pace and tempo of games with your run game, then what happens is your defense plays fewer snaps, your offense controls time of possession, and you're putting your quarterback in great situations. I remember looking at Dak Prescott in his rookie season of 2016, and we would sit here at NFL Films in our matchup room and watch their offense and say, there's never anybody around Dak Prescott. And I think they want to get back to that formula, that profile.
Greg, Dallas had to draft a tight end. Can Jordan Schultz and his skill set fit in well with the offense led by Dak Prescott?
Well, Schultz, he was a very good blocker at Stanford. That's what he did. We know how Stanford plays football. They line up in the I formation. They often play with two tight ends. At times, they play with six offensive linemen. He's a short to intermediate receiving type. I mean, he's not going to be Jason Witten, but stylistically, in terms of how the routes he'd kind of run, he would be similar. But you can't compare anybody to Jason Witten, who was just sensational. But yeah, I mean, that's how they see him.
Greg, we're very familiar with Mike White, quarterback at Western Kentucky from right up the road in Bowling Green. What do you think about him going in the fifth round to the Cowboys and his fit with what they want to do offensively behind Dak Prescott?
Well, I think theoretically he does fit because I think that White is, he's a very good touch and pace thrower. He's showed consistent accuracy at the short to intermediate levels. He's kind of a pure pocket kind of quarterback. I thought his arm was a little slow at times. I wouldn't call him a high-level throwing talent, but he was decisive. He was accurate. He was really good in the play-action pass game, and that's critical for what Dallas is going to do.
Looking at the Giants draft, was it just the easy, obvious pick of Saquon Barkley at number two for them? Was that the right fit in that spot?
Well, for them it was, Chad.
Yeah.
I mean, from everything you hear, they didn't even listen to any potential trade offers. They knew they wanted Saquon Barkley. And, Saquon Barkley is an explosive, game-changing type player. He's a run-to-daylight runner. He's, at times, he looked like Barry Sanders. I mean, that's the kind of back he is. He despite his 233 pounds, he's not a purely power runner. Could he develop into that? That's a question I think, maybe guys who've coached running backs for a lot of years would be able to answer better than I could. Whether a guy who's not really a power runner by nature can become one, I don't know if that's in his DNA, but there's an explosive, spectacular, dynamic element to his game, both as a runner and as a receiver. And that's what fits today's game, and that's the way they're going to go. I mean, they're going to try to take as much pressure off Eli Manning as they can.
He's elite. It's hard to really get into this without saying, well, obviously, Jonathan, he's elite, but he's deceptively strong with his lower body.
Ah, you know what I mean? Why he can make those cuts.
Yes.
You know, it's funny you say that because his lower body strength does not show up in terms of, let's say, running through people, like, let's say, a Leonard
right.
Fournette. His lower body strength shows up in the way he's able to stop and start on a dime and change direction. He is so good at that. That's why I said there are runs he has that look like Barry Sanders.
Each of Gettleman's first four picks checked key boxes for them. They run the ball, stop the run, and get after the quarterback. With Will Hernandez at guard, outside linebacker Lorenzo Carter, and then B.J. Hill, the big defensive tackle, do you like how they went about addressing big areas of concern on the roster?
Well, I thought the Hernandez pick was a great pick because if you're going to draft Barkley and make a commitment to the fact that you want to run the football, which, again, we talked about this with Dallas, run the ball, control pace and tempo, help your defense. I loved Will Hernandez in that regard. I mean, he presented such a desirable combination of movement, balance, power, strength, and he was a nasty SOB. He had high, high-level competitiveness. I really liked Hernandez. You know, obviously, Quentin Nelson was the guy everybody spoke about, and deservedly so, but I kind of liked Hernandez pretty close. I thought he was not far off. So I thought that was a really good pick. Carter's an intriguing player, the Georgia kid you guys know from the SEC. His body type and his build make you think he's a great pass rusher, but that's probably the worst thing he did. He's going to have to be taught how to be a pass rusher. But he's very athletic, he's very fluid, and he can do multiple things.
Now, taught how to be a pass rusher, Are you saying as he engages the offensive line there, or
technique? You use his hands, set up guys. You know, just because he's long and athletic, you know, he's not Leonard Floyd. He's from the same school, and I think people looked at body type and thought he's Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd is a natural pass rusher, just in terms of the way he moves his body, just in the way he was able to use his hands in conjunction with how he would bend. Carter doesn't have those sort of subtle, nuanced traits. He looks like that, but he doesn't have those traits.
Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. He joins us every Wednesday on the Midday 180. Greg, thanks so much. We'll do it again next week.
Guys, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Greg Cosell. Again, make the right move by choosing Huffaker. Visit them online, THGTN.com, or call 833-THG-NASH. He's the best.
He brings it every single time.